Kevin had a moment of anxiety when he realized that four part Asian kids weren't going to blend in as easily as in Vegas. But at least their ethnicity and their attire, casual, urban, certainly Northeast, would match their big bankrolls. Nobody in a baseball hat and overalls was going to drop $50,000 at blackjack. Once inside, they surveyed the landscape. The horseshoe paddle boat was three floors, with most of the blackjack tables situated on the lowest deck. They boarded the boat one at a time, at 10-minute intervals. Kevin was the last onto the boat, taking his time as he wound between the crowded tables. As Fisher had described, the table limits were $5,000, and the spotter visibility was quite good. Kevin sidled into an open seat, nodding at the other players. He put down the minimum and began the count as low cards streamed out of the shoe. He noticed that, unlike Vegas, the players were extremely friendly and talkative, often giving advice to one another and tossing comments to the dealer as he played his own hand. The southern accents made the atmosphere seem even more casual and friendly, and Kevin felt himself enjoying the camaraderie, joining in as the table helped a young woman handle a pair of nines. By midnight, he'd called Fisher in to his table twice. He didn't notice any heat coming from the smiling, cordial pit bosses who roamed the gambling area, and as far as he could tell, the team play was going completely unnoticed. When they left the boat, again staggered in 10-minute intervals, the quartet was up $50,000. Knowing that they'd be in Shreveport all weekend, they left the money in horseshoe chips, sealing the stash in a large plastic bag jammed into the duffel in the back of their rented Toyota. Rather than retire to the hotel, Fisher voted to head over to another of the riverboats, a Caribbean-themed resort called the Isle of Capri. Kevin wasn't tired yet, so he acquiesced. Dylan requested a short pit stop to call Jill, then they made the quick drive. They gave the car to the valet and entered the Capri one at a time. The Isle of Capri was smaller than the horseshoe and a little less well-kept. Kevin dubbed it the Isle of Debris because of the lower-class element he saw strolling through the lobby. Once on the boat, he looked over the blackjack area and saw that the tables were packed a little closer together, but the maximums were still high and the visual access good. He watched Fisher, Dylan, and Martinez take positions a few tables apart, laying down minimum bets. Then he began to move in a loose circle around the gaming area. He had made one revolution around the deck when he noticed something odd. Four pit bosses were gathered together in the center of the blackjack area, leaning over something on a small table. Usually, the pit bosses did not group together. They each had their own turf, and conferred only at shift changes or when there was a security concern. Kevin had a sudden, ugly feeling and moved in for a closer look. He found an angle where he could see between two of the blackjack tables, shielded behind a heavy-set man in overalls who was leaning over one of the tables and trying to add up the numbers on his cards.